Hey, guys. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Let's make it three. Three's good. Three scoops is good.
Oh, I need some of that.
Three scoops.
Hey. This stays in the studio, though.
Nah,
can't keep commandeering my protein every time I bring it over here.
Going to the house.
I bring protein over for the show so we can make shakes. And the next day, I'm like, where's the protein at? He's like, it's in my house. Used half of it. I'm like, man, I need studio protein can't get intertwined with personal protein
okay,
in the house.
Okay. This is part of the prop.
Yes, it's a prop. It's got to stay out here. We got enough props behind us now. Eventually, we're going to burn through all these purple sticks.
They're almost all empty.
I know. Half of them are empty. I think we may have a problem.
I think I'm addicted to the purple sticks.
I think I have a problem.
So, this is the problem when you start selling illegally addictive stuff like this. This is great.
Well, then everybody starts, you know, using it, and then we start using
They use it. They feel so much better than they do on coffee. They start going, this is great.
Well, then I had all this stuff going on, too. I mean, the last 2 days, you guys have seen the website. I hope you guys have enjoyed that, by the way. Been doing a lot of work on that, keeping that updated. Vitamin C powder, which was product of the week. We haven't even changed that over yet for product of the week because we're still testing everything
right now. I'm using that every morning. That's great.
You like it, don't you?
I took that to the household.
I know. You commandeered my vitamin C. Now I got to go get more. But if you guys are enjoying that, last night I was on the Hagman Report. Great show that we had on there. And I was going over the Health Masters, teamhealthmasters.com 2.0 options that we have right now.
Boy, Doug loves our GHI cleanse.
Oh, he's been hammering it. It was helping his liver really good. And the Ultimate Morning Energy Kit, which is actually what this is exactly, chocolate fit food with purple sticks in it. This is one of the best products we have as far as for a breakfast if you're not going to eat your eggs in the morning. Or you could stack it where you eat your eggs first or later on. I didn't get my eggs in this morning. I will get those in after the show and then probably go do some cardio after that just because my whole schedule has been a little kind of pulled out of the ground for the last couple days, running this website all night and keeping everything operational on it. So be sure to check it out. And a lot of different specials we have. One of the parts I like on here, too, is the best sellers. These are the common products, the top sellers, the best ones that everybody loves. Just the main bread and butter that really keeps you healthy, from the vitamin C, magnesium, brain food, D3, purple sticks. So we did this on purpose right out the gate for the people that want, you know, GHI, HGH Stimulate. A lot of people just want to order these, order them, reorder them. You have the reorder option on there. And then, as I told you guys, when you want to go to your cart and check out, I've given you every single possible scenario option that you can use now as far as to pay. And I've been getting great feedback from it, watching the orders, make sure everybody's taken care of. If you have a problem, if you can't find something, if there's any issues that you're having, please call us currently right now. Don't email me on anything with the new website because we get a lot of emails every day. I want to make sure everybody's taken care of immediately if there's anything going on that you can't find or having an issue with on the site.
So far, the new site's working great.
Yeah, I've had very few glitches other than a couple photos that are offset on the transfer over, but that happens.
Jimmy Fallon made a funny comment.
Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
Is he still even relevant?
No, he's not relevant. But Breitbart reported on him.
Okay.
Because this is funny. So if you wonder why I was chuckling a second ago, and forgive me because I'm not trying to be crude here, but it's funny.
Oh,
Jimmy Fallon says Trump will know in 2 minutes if a deal is good with Putin because Stormy Daniels says 2 minutes is plenty. Can you believe
really?
That?
So you're going to start the show with?
I saw that. I started laughing. I thought it was pretty funny. And of course, he's talking about Stormy Daniels, who was the porn star that Trump supposedly was with. So I thought that was funny. I got a kick out of that. I thought, okay, that's great. But by the way, I was on the phone this morning with my contact in Ukraine.
Yeah.
I was. I talked to a lady over there who basically is in the Crimea area, and she said it's part of Russia now, and that, you know, she basically says that she has seen the bombing, she has seen the bridges get blown up, she has seen the damage. And that she's a nurse and she's really scared that they're going to call her into this conflict and that she wants this thing to be over with.
Everybody does over there.
No, that she's had enough.
Everybody's
had enough. And that she wants it to end, that she wants Trump and Putin to do it. And I said to her, I said, well, what about Zelensky not being invited?
What'd she say?
She started laughing, and she goes, nobody respects him.
Yeah.
He's a clown.
That's everything I've heard. Literally, every time I talk to somebody, it's the same thing.
I told her, I said, well, he's not even the duly elected president anymore. He suspended elections.
Yeah.
She goes, I'm in Russia now, because it's part of Russia.
Yeah.
She goes, but we're just tired of the fighting. We're just tired of all of this. It's just enough. It's been going on for, she says, it's been going on since 2014.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we talked about it. I mean, it's a useless war. I talked to Doug about it last night. I said, all they're doing is wiping out their younger male generation. I mean, they're conscripting guys. I mean, I talked to a guy when I was out in Vegas for a SEMA auto show last year, and he was doing Uber driving, and he flat out said he was from Ukraine. Ukraine action, everything. He said, dude, I got out as quick as I could. He goes, got over here, tried to start working. He said, because you'd go to the bar, somebody gets drunk and arrested for like drunken disorderly. He goes, next day you wake up, you're conscripted. That's it. Nobody sees you again. You're gone. And they give you like some of the most abysmal infantry training known to man. And they throw you on the front line and say, you're going to war. And I mean, like the videos that saw, some of the horrific ones, the aerial footage, then sending out guys do landmine sweeps with metal detectors on foot.
One guy jumps down and he hits the mine.
Blows both of his legs off. I mean, they're dragging him back. Oh, who's the next one who's going to go out? I mean, dude, we built mine sweeping tanks decades ago for a reason.
If you watch that movie, Enemy at the Gates.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's an old movie.
Oh, yeah.
And World War II.
It's World War II, the siege of, I believe it was Leningrad or St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. And what ended up happening is the Russians refused to go fight. And so they started shooting their own men in the back.
They machine gun the guys in the back as soon as they turned around.
If they tried to retreat, they would just kill them.
That was Stalin.
Oh, yeah. Well, Stalin was a nightmare.
He was lunatic.
Yeah. You know what's so crazy to me is that Stalin, you know, he killed 60 million of his own people. All right. Him and Lenin, unbelievable, horrible people. And, you know, and yet Hitler is the one who made all the headlines.
Yeah.
You know, and Stalin was Hitler was a small fry compared to Stalin and Lenin.
He was no altar boy, but they completely and totally removed any discussions about Stalin.
Well, he was our ally.
Yeah. You know? Everything's, Russia this, Russia that's fine. We don't talk about it.
No, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and they were talking about the different types of truths and not truths out there. She goes, my mom, who was from Germany, she said she always told me that the war and what we were told after the war wasn't true.
That's a fact.
And I told her, I said, that's exactly the same thing that happened to me.
Yep.
I said, my grandfather was there. My mom was there. In fact, if you read the book, The Bad War by Mike King, which, by the way, is a free PDF, everybody needs to read it, you suddenly realize that the entire history lesson that we had about World War II was a lie.
Yeah.
It's all a lie. And that book is, by the way, very, very good. It's exactly what my grandfather, my mom told me happened over there in World War II. So you guys read the book or don't read the book, but you think, well, I don't want to read a book about ancient history. That's 100 years ago. I got it. But here's the problem. If you don't know what history is, you're doomed to repeat
it. That's exactly
right. They play the same cycles over and over again.
Same plays, same playbook.
And so unless you understand that and what they're trying to do and the obfuscation that they're using, you'll be trapped into another cycle, just like we have in the Ukrainian war right now. It's been 10 years this thing's been going, over 10 years. They've been killing each other over there and bombing each other and shelling each other. And the lady I spoke to this morning, she said that she wants to leave, but there's no airport locally that services international, and she has to drive 14 hours with a smuggler, okay, that charged $3,000 to take her for a 14-hour trip to get her out of the country, to get her on an airplane, to get her out of the country.
Well, if it's designated inside or around a combat zone, they've stopped all international flights, too. That's
why she's got to go 14 hours.
They're not going to bring international flights. They've stopped all flights over there as far as that area.
She goes, all I want to do is get out of this place. And I said, well, I can't say
that. Well, this just turned into a Lockheed Martin Raytheon war. I already told you that. This conflict will stop when they deem it so.
And then I told her, out of the hundreds of billions of dollars that we've given you, the Ukraine, in weapons, about 80% of them get trafficked to other countries.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So she knew what was going on. Everybody knows what's going on. It's like, what's that one quote? We know they're lying. They know they're lying. They know that we know they're lying.
Yet they still keep lying.
Yeah. That was that soul.
Well, that's what I told Doug last night. I said, I hope at some point, as far as for the sake of everybody over there and the sake of everything going on, that this thing gets shut down and Putin and Trump finally just settle this thing and get done with it. Because international bankers and the military industrial complex are the only individuals who are winning on this topic right now. And there are hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue they've made over the last couple of years. And it's got to stop. This is insane. Yeah.
I'm going to read it again. This is a quote by Solzhenitsyn.
Okay.
This is that good. I covered it a couple months ago. We know that they are lying. They know that they are lying. They even know that we know that they are lying. We also know that they know that we know that they are lying. They, of course, know that we certainly know that they know that we know that we are lying and they are lying. But they are still lying. In our country, the lies become the most, not just moral category, but the pillar industry of this country are the lies.
Are the lies. That's exactly right.
Wow.
Everything's based on the lie. The lie has to keep going because the lie is what keeps everything moving. Yeah. There's no Epstein list. There are no Epstein clients. There are no anybody that involved in anything as far as with trafficking children. There is nobody that was involved. It's a complete hoax. It never existed. It didn't happen.
Yeah, these seven of these girls now have like committed suicide.
Yeah, Ghislaine Maxwell's been incarcerated now for multiple years for trafficking nobody to nobody. And now she's going to be pardoned.
The judge just ruled he would not release the grand jury transcripts.
Oh, yeah. We covered that in detail. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet, you noticed how the Epstein topic is just...
Well, that's what they always do.
Out. They put because, all the topics on
the,
top
the
of
one
it.
Thing about the American population that's not good, they have a very, very short attention span. And that's because of the way they've been programmed through social media.
So social media. I was just about to say that.
And if you watch the current movies, it's always each cuts 3 to 4 seconds.
3 to 4 seconds. Sometimes they're more than that now.
Sometimes they're like every second, another cut, another cut, another cut.
And that's when you look at now, and that's why reels and shorts on social media are the number one watched, liked, commented stuff now. And they're all like 15 seconds. 15 seconds reels. That's as long as the American population could watch something on social media before they suddenly get bored and need a new dopamine trigger. Got a 15-second attention span. Dude, squirrels have a better attention span than that in most cases.
Cats do.
I mean, this is absurd now that you have human beings that can't watch something for longer than 15 to 30 seconds without becoming bored, unless it's unbelievably graphic or unbelievably weird. And then all of a sudden, oh, we can watch it. We can binge watch it on Netflix for 2 days straight and not get out of bed. Turn into a fat ass. Excuse me. Fat butt. I talked about this on Doug last night. I said why COVID was so effective for the medical industrial complex on top of all the money is that everybody got so stinking lazy. Nobody wants to go to the store anymore. Oh, I've got Uber delivery eats. I don't have to go to the arduous task of driving the Publix 3 minutes down the road to pick up my groceries to deliver to my home so I can sit on my couch and feed on my MSG and diet soda while I binge on pervert Netflix shows. COVID created that ideology. We weren't that lazy.
You're on a roll today, buddy. What in the world? How many purple sticks have you had?
I haven't slept in 3 days. I'm just kidding. I got a really good night's sleep last night. After the show with Doug, we went in. We basically got the show knocked out. I took 3 melatonin, ate 4 eggs, went out like a light. I actually got a really good night's sleep last night. Last 3 days have been a lot getting this website together. So I'm back at it. You guys got Austin back today, and I'll be back for the show.
You're in rare form today.
And I had to take some attention factor.
There you are. I knew there's something else going on here this morning.
Yeah, I love my attention factor.
But when you understand how many times they lie to us, and they continue to lie to us, the problem is, the Bible says it this way, light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness.
That's exactly
so
right.
The world prefers the lies. Why are the lies easier to deal with? Because they're simpler. And because they basically require that you take no action.
That's exactly what I was about to say. They require no accountability and no direct action. You go, well, you know what? We're just going to believe the lie, go back to the couch and eat our food and shut up.
Remember the three-dimensional chess garbage? You remember QAnon and that lie?
Don't worry about anything that's happening. Trump is playing 57-dimensional chess. He's got it all figured out. QAnon's running the show with him behind the scenes.
You know,
I remember... After that election got stolen and the entire debacle of January 6th, we talked to a guy that you knew. I'm not going to put his name out there. And he told us, he said, you don't understand. Trump is still running the show from Mar-a-Lago. He's got the military completely under control. QAnon's got everything lined up. Trump's going to come back in and basically take everything over. And Biden's going to be arrested.
That aged
poorly, by the way.
They believed that, by the way.
No, he was arguing with you about it. No. Arguing with you about it.
He came by the house to argue with me.
And he's
actually nationally known. They did a movie about it.
I'm not. Do you understand? He's running the government from Mar-a-Lago. Everything's been taken over. Biden's going to be arrested. They're going to have military tribunals with Biden. I'm like, okay. I'm not going to hold my breath.
Remember
on
the tribunals that Obama and Hillary had all been taken to Guantanamo?
They
had executed?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how he's still running around, isn't it? And you know, and the part that bothers me is that I had a lady out of Colorado, and we helped. She had some health problems, and we helped her. She got past the health issues, and this was like when this whole QAnon stuff started. She called me up, and she's all giddy, and she goes, "Oh, this is great! This is QAnon, this is great. You know, everything's happening that we thought it would happen." I said, whoa, this is a CIA psyop that did the same thing when the Tsar Nicholas was basically killed. They said everybody told me
he was still alive. He was operating everything. The whole family got machine gun.
Yeah. And she goes, "Oh, no, you don't understand." And she got so mad at me. She said, "Until you accept the truth, don't contact me again." And she was angry. And she was actually in a situation where she was in dire straits with her health. And I showed her how to fix it. And the crazy part about all of this stuff is that I still to this day have never heard back from her. I mean, we actually had a big fundraiser for her trying to help her with her health.
Well, and I think what it was is everybody got so complacent when Trump got elected in 16.
That's right.
Because what happened was everybody goes, Trump's going to save us. We don't have to do anything. And at the beginning phase of the presidency, it was running pretty good. And then all of a sudden, he just had all of his boys in the cabinets, all the banker boys running the show. And suddenly, nothing changed anymore. And then all of a sudden, everybody had the whole concept, you don't understand what he's doing. He's doing all this behind the scenes. I said, he's allowing ATF to rewrite 1934 NFA gun law definition of machine gun so they can ban bump fire stocks and make them illegal. That's your three-dimensional chess play, which they got away with for, 6 years?
Yeah.
Until Supreme Court finally overruled it. He gave ATF the green light to target Americans for a slide that goes back and forth that had no impact on the mechanism of a trigger.
Let's not forget about all the cell 5G and 6G towers that went up during COVID.
Yeah.
Popped up out of nowhere.
Already in place. Here's the thing that people failed to grasp with that stuff. That equipment for 5G didn't just show up. Those were year contracts, 2 and 3 year contracts in the making to get those parts, to get those 5G tower cells, to get all those transmitters. They didn't just show up during COVID and get put up randomly by accident. Those had been put in place, the POs for those parts and that equipment for years. They knew they were going to put it up during COVID. Mm-hmm. That's why they set it up and nobody could figure out where the towers were coming up from.
Well, in addition to that, the mRNA vaccines that Charles Lieber put together with the lipid nanotechnology, all of that stuff was pushed through Operation Warp Speed.
Oh, yeah.
And there are literally millions of people dead now. I have a friend of mine. She had another friend of hers yesterday, another bodybuilder, 37 years old. Boom, dropped dead. You know, so this is not over yet with COVID.
No.
And these shots. And people are still taking the shots, by the way.
Well, no. I brought up the whole thing with the FDA last night with Doug. I said the FDA is discussing removing the COVID shot from the children's shot schedule under emergency use authorization for 5 and under. The fact that we're in 2025, COVID's not even a relevant problem anymore, and we're still giving 6-month-olds an RNA injection that is under emergency use authorization boggles my mind. Emergency use authorization is when there is no other viable option for a serious pandemic or disease. Emergency use authorization gives the green light for a drug or vaccine to be rolled through at light speed so it can be essentially zero testing, any long-term testing, because the only viable option. It's been on for 5 years now. They've been giving this crap to kids for 5 years.
Well, what they've done, they've sterilized an entire generation of children. They're going to turn them into hermaphrodites because they're not going to go into... And I'm being serious now. They're not going to go into puberty, right? Nothing's going to happen to them, right? They're not going to start ovulating, right? They're not producing sperm, right? There's a whole bunch of things that are going to happen to them when they hit 14, 15, 16 years old. And this group of people who did this to them knew what they were doing.
There is zero long-term testing, long-term research, looking at what RNA gene therapy does to infants and toddlers.
And
zero.
And that's why they're purging the databases from the government records.
I brought that up.
Because they're going to have the ability to do the research.
Well, no, because here's what happens is now. Now it happens when they come in a couple years ago, we want Freedom Information Act. We want to find out everyone and how many shots they got that were in the government.
How many have died?
Oh, we can't compare that data. It's been expunged. It's been deleted. Because, you know, we don't...
Privacy,
It's privacy. We didn't want to do that. It's all been expunged now because it's illegal to ask that, which it should have been from the very beginning. That's why they're getting rid of all that data.
By the way, you know, we're seeing a lot of talk show hosts getting canned now. Okay?
Yeah.
We saw Howard Stern get canned. And yesterday I was speaking to another radio personality. I will not mention his name today. And he told me that Howard Stern's in Sirius Radio, that there's a possibility, but he wasn't sure, was getting paid through USAID.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you said it was all CIA black op money.
That's all Operation Mockingbird.
That's exactly right. That's interesting. Now, fund did get scrapped.
That is pure speculation on my part, but how in the world are they paying this clown with 120,000 listeners $100 million a year?
Well, no. We've always wondered that with some of these guys. Remember the same thing, too. You get these guys that come out of nowhere. Suddenly, they start getting millions of subscribers on YouTube. They get on every single platform. All those companies with Alphabet, with Google, with YouTube, with all that, that's not cheap to push the algorithms that way. I've done marketing. I've worked with stuff for it. It's unbelievably expensive to push that much direction towards a certain platform.
It's complicated.
Oh, it's very complicated. It's a lot of money. They don't do it for free.
You know what's so funny, though? Here's what it says. Howard Stern tries to own the rumor mill of his own serious demise. This is the Hollywood Reporter. A promo running on the satellite radio giant is leaning into the chaos of Howard Stern's show cancellation and teasing that the host himself will reveal it all on September the 2nd. Talking on the Fleet Street rumor mill isn't easy, but it appears that Sirius and Howard Stern are giving it a shot. In the lead-up to Stern's next contract talks with the satellite radio giant, his five-year deal was estimated to be worth $100 million a year and is done here this year. A familiar refrain is this for Howard has echoed a bit louder given his age 71 and the transitional moment podcasts are flooding the zone and also becoming the new TV. That's us, by the way. The time was that son. I'm sorry, this is how it's being written. It's terrible grammar, okay? With this August 5 quote, I'm sorry, I can't read it. It's so bad.
Just give us a synopsis on it.
Don't complain to me, please. I know we got the grammar piece out there. When I read something that's written this badly, I'm just trying to read it. As fast as my brain still works, I can't correct it as I'm reading it.
That's true. It's hard to do.
It's hard to do unless I have read it in advance and I have corrected it on paper. The line reads like a work. I can't read it. It's that bad. In other words, they're trying to figure out what to do with Howard Stern's, and they're trying to figure out how to mitigate the damage because he's been terminated by Sirius.
Well, but also, too, what's happening is now with some of these guys like this, they've killed both sides of their audience because of their behavior and also because of their irrelevancy in bringing up these topics and coming up with the stupid stuff they say now that no one – everybody's sick of the woke ideology.
So here's the thing. $100 million a year for one person, who's paying that bill?
Yeah.
I mean, Sirius Radio is not that big.
You know, well, it is, too. You start looking at their actual overall revenue. That's an enormous amount of money.
He had 90 people on staff on the show. 90 people on staff. And you ask yourself a question, who's paying for this? I spoke to another man a few years ago, and he has 60 people on staff. He puts out a lot of disinformation. And he met in Ecuador repeatedly, according to Jeff Rentz, with multiple people from the CIA. So who pays for all this stuff? And so much of it now, Austin, we saw through Elon Musk, who got quickly shut up after this.
Oh, yeah.
When he started talking about USAID, they shut USAID down. All of a sudden, now we have this group of people now that were supposedly mouthpieces for the, quote, CIA. And I'm not saying that specifically that's Howard Stern, but who knows who they are. Suddenly, the funding has come to a dry, dried up.
Sirius last year did $8.5 billion in total sales. That was total revenue. That's before cost. That's before expenses. That's before...
$100 million.
Yes. I mean, they still do big cash. $8.5 billion is a chunk of cash, but I don't know what their overhead is with Sirius. I know they got some serious costs with that.
Having to pay all of the artists for playing all of their songs all of the time.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of cash going out. So I don't know. Plus, we need to find out who owns Sirius.
Let's find out.
Anyways,
we'll cover that real quick. I'm looking this up.
Yeah, but anyhow, so now here's another article that just came in. It says the Obergefell debate resurfaces. Could same-sex marriage be overturned? Okay. A decade after the 2015 Obergefell versus Hodges decision legalized same-sex marriage, this is written well. Who owns it? We already know. Is it BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard?
No. It's a little bit different. It's a lot different. You guys are going to be shocked here. It's Berkshire Hathaway, Vanguard, then BlackRock.
And here's State Street down here.
Yeah, this State Street. The Berkshire Hathaway is the top. They own a lot of it. They own a huge chunk of it. And then Vanguard and BlackRock, ironically.
You know, you don't even really know what to say about
it. It's the same players every time.
Yeah, it's always the same players. Anyhow, back to this again. The possibility of reversing same-sex marriage has emerged in the public discourse. The debate is fierce, spanning across legal, cultural, and political spheres. For the first time since 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court of the United States is facing a formal request to revisit Obergefell through a case tied to former Kennedy County Clerk Kim Davis. Davis jailed for 6 days in 2015 for refusing to issue a marriage license to a same-sex couple on religious grounds. That's been 10 years ago. As reported by the Post-Millennial, is now appealing a $100,000 grand jury award for emotional damages and $260,000 in legal fees. Represented by Liberty Counsel, Davis's case raises two pivotal questions. Does she have a First Amendment defense based on her religious convictions when sued for emotional distress with no tangible damages beyond hurt feelings? And should the 2015 Obergefell decision, which mandated same-sex marriage nationwide, be overturned? This, again, was under Obama. And there, of course, everybody knows he's gay. In their petition, Davis and LC sharply criticized Obergefell, calling it egregiously wrong, deeply damaging, and far outside of the bounds of any reasonable interpretation of the various constitutional provisions to which it vaguely pointed. She argued it set out on a collision course with the Constitution from the day it was decided, asserting that its errors impact a question of profound moral and social importance that the Constitution unequivocally leaves for the people. The petition emphasized that Obergefell should be overturned because the Constitution makes no reference to same-sex marriage, which is true, and no right is implicitly recognized by any constitutional provision. That's true. It further clarifies that overturning Obergefell would not invalidate existing marriage licenses, including those for same-sex couples, but would return marriage regulation to the states, mirroring the 2022 Dobbs-Jackson decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. That's exactly what needs to happen. Austin,
yes.
That if you want to be in a state that recognizes same-sex marriage, that should be your right.
It's states' rights.
Yeah.
This whole aspect of having the Fed come in and dictate what all states have to do.
This was Obama again.
Because, again, you got the factor of this. If you want to live in an absolute communist, anti-gun, anti-freedom state, you can move to a place like California.
Or, that's your right to do so. Or Massachusetts.
Or Massachusetts or Washington State. That's what you want to do. You want to live in your little liberal enclave with all your little faggot friends, and you can't have guns and you can't do anything and you're all controlled by a communist government. That's okay. States' rights were built on that platform. It really was the United States. We're a constitutional republic. We're a loosely knit, controlled group of states that come together if they need it. That gave everybody the ability to pick and choose and have the rights and freedoms of where they wanted to go. Do I agree with the rights in California? Absolutely not. Would I live in California? Absolutely not. Do I visit California? Absolutely not. Do I love all my customers in California? I do. I appreciate you guys. I know you guys are in a really rough state. And I know there's parts of California that are amazing.
Well, a lot of California is very conservative.
Yosemite National Park? Oh, gosh.
That place is beautiful.
Beautiful. Northern California, beautiful.
San Francisco at one time was beautiful.
San Francisco used to be beautiful. I mean, I raced Glen Helen. Motocross track, national motocross track. I went out there, had my CR125.
Got a picture of you going across the finish line up in the air.
Glen Helen, or that track's insane, by the way, when I used to race. But there's some great parts of California, but they got a massively insane, out of control communist government. And just
they do.
If you want to do that in your state and everybody wants to vote on it, you put an amendment on the ballot. Everybody votes.
And what's funny to me is that we've got now in New York City, we've got a Muslim who's leading for the mayoral office. And, you know, it's crazy to me, especially with the Jewish influence in New York City. I'm surprised.
That does surprise me how Jewish New York is.
Oh, yeah.
That they're allowing a Muslim like that to be put in place. That really boggles my mind. Or that shows you the level of influence the Muslims got in New York now.
It really, really, really does.
They do like to take over everything when they get into an area. We see that in Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah, the next Israel-Iran war is coming. Both countries' strategic calculus suggests it will become even more violent. Israel is likely to launch yet another war with Iran before December, perhaps even this month. Isn't that crazy, Austin? I hadn't seen it coming this soon. Iran is expecting and preparing for the attack. By the way, Russia and China have rearmed Iran for all the missile systems they dumped into Israel. This thing's fully rearmed. Israel didn't expect to be rained down on. They thought the Iron Dome would protect them. It did not. And suddenly they're like, help, Donald Trump, help. They came running to us because they started this mess and they couldn't finish it. Iran's not what they think it is. They know that now, and they realize that they're going to have to do a whole lot more if they're planning on taking Iran and overtaking that government. Iran is expecting, preparing for the attack. It played the long game in the first war, pacing its missile attacks as it anticipated a protracted conflict. In the next round, however, Iran is likely to strike decisively on the outset, aiming to dispel any notion that it could be subdued under Israeli military dominance. As a result, the coming war would likely be far bloodier than the first. If U.S. President Donald Trump caves to Israel's pressure again and joins the fight, the United States could face a full-blown war with Iran that could make Iraq look like an easy comparison. Israel's June war was never solely about Iran's nuclear program. Rather, it was about shifting the balance of power in the Middle East. It was actually about the greater Israel program, and we had the general read that to you here a few weeks ago. With Iranian nuclear capacities and capabilities being as important but not decisive factor, for more than two decades, Israel has pushed the United States to take military action against Iran to weaken it and restore a favorable regional balance, one that Israel cannot achieve on its own. In this context, Israel strikes had three main objectives beyond weakening Iran's nuclear infrastructure, which, by the way, they didn't have. It sought to draw the United States into a direct military conflict with Iran. That's true. To decapitate the Iranian regime. That's true. And to turn the country into the next Syria or Lebanon. That's true. Countries that Israel can bomb with impunity and without any U.S. involvement. Only one of these three goals was realized. What's more, Trump did not obliterate Iran's nuclear program, nor has it been set back to the point where the issue can now be resolved. In other words, with his June attacks, Israel achieved a partial victory at best. I don't believe that. I think Iran won that conflict. Its preferred outcome was for Trump to fully engage targeting both Iran's conventional forces and economic infrastructure. While Trump favors swift, decisive military action, he fears full-scale war. His strategy to attack Iran's nuclear facilities was thus designed to limit escalation rather than expand it. In the short term, Trump succeeded, much to Israel's chagrin, but in the long term, he's allowed Israel to trap him in an escalating cycle. This is an excellent article, and I'm going to have you guys post it. It's called foreignpolicy.com. Now, one more thing I want to say, and don't forget this, the USS Liberty, Austin.
Back
in 1967, it was attacked by Israel. It was shot over 5,000 times. It was torpedoed. They attempted to sink it. They finally got an antenna up on the mast, and they called for help, said Israel was attacking them as they were launching helicopters to come in with their special troops, their Mossad troops, to kill everybody on the ship, and they knew it was an American ship. It had a huge American flag flying on it that they shot off and then shot the antennas down. And they did this to try to precipitate World War III, or at least us attacking Egypt. That happened in 1967. Watch the video, Sacrificing Liberty, one of the best videos ever done. It had the actual survivors of what happened on that day. It's unbelievable. And they took it to the faraway port in the middle of nowhere for ship repairs, and they made the crew, who was already traumatized from everything they'd seen, clean up the dead bodies inside of that ship. It was the most decorated ship in the history of military warfare with the Navy because of what happened there. But yet, do you even hear about it?
Never.
Yesterday, I was having lunch, and I spoke to this lady, and she was a big history buff. And I said, well, you do know there was a Building 7 in 9/11, correct? Well, what is that?
Still don't know.
Building 7? What is? She goes, there's a third tower that came down? And I just dropped my head and shook it. I said, I am shocked at how many people don't know this. The other day, we were talking to a full bird colonel.
Yeah.
Who's a friend of Austin's. He did not know about Building 7.
Well, here's the problem. The longer the gap, the longer the span.
It's been 24 years now.
It's going to get worse and worse, because what's going to happen is the next generation, they're going to remember and hear about the stories of 9/11, the two towers. But the longer it goes, the less people are going to talk about
this.
This
guy was a full bird colonel. He didn't know about Building 7. So I pulled up the video. There's a compilation video now of all these different angles of Building 7 coming down. And she looked at it like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I said, this
got zero coverage.
And I said, and the people who took down Building 7 are the ones who run the world, period. You could say, it's the Illuminati. Okay. It's the people who took down Building 7. They're the ones who have this and act like this with impunity, and nothing ever happens to them, Austin. They're never brought up on charges.
No. Now, there's another topic that I want to cover down here in Florida right now. So I've had a lot of people email me and ask me about it because it involves kratom, which is an interesting compound. Florida now did a full knee-jerk reaction, and they labeled synthetic opioid 7-OH as a Schedule 1 drug. Now, and I'm going to cover this real briefly.
Are you talking kratom?
This is basically taking the key ingredient in kratom. that's been synthesized, and they've made it scheduled one overnight. Scheduled one.
That's like prison time.
Same category as getting caught with cocaine or methamphetamine now. Immediate felony, immediate prison time.
Or heroin.
Or heroin. Now, the problem with this is, this opioid 7-OH is a derivative from kratom in a synthetic form. I've used kratom extensively testing when it came out about 15 years ago. I was very curious about it because I had a lot of individuals I knew that were combat veterans that had gotten hooked on opioids because I was in that generation of everybody that I knew was taking OxyContin and Roxy's when they came out. And they were using kratom to get off of it instead of having to do methadone. And it worked great. Kratom worked great for that. I've used it. It's a great product, I think, for that reason. I don't think kratom needs to be used recreationally. I really don't. But as far as taking kratom or taking OxyContin, you can't even compare the two. Now, what happened was companies started taking kratom about 5-6 years back, and they synthesized it into opioid 7-OH, known as 7-OH. It's basically a kratom compound. It's a synthetic. Well, they started putting it in drinks, gummies, candies, and it was uncontrolled. And so what happened is now this compound's been put on the market, and it's at gas stations, it's at vape stores, and it's pretty strong opioid receptor stimulator, meaning it works the same way that morphine does on the body, just not as strong. Now, they came here, and they said they're seeing this problem now with some individuals going in and using the 7-OH compound, and that it's addictive, and that essentially it's a natural substance in kratom, but they've synthesized it. So here's the problem that they did. Instead of going in and saying, we're going to see what happens here, anything that contains 7-OH, you now have to be 21 or older to buy it. It's the same category as alcohol, and see how they did it. Because right now, there was a problem. I'm not going to lie. Kids could go into the store and buy this stuff. You had 10, 12-year-olds going in, and it had similar effects as opioids on the body, including decreased motor function, which can be a problem if you're operating a vehicle when you're 16 years old. So it needed to be addressed. But Florida, sometimes in its infinite stupidity, they came in and said, by the way, we deem it so because there's too much competition now with oxycodone and other opiates, and people are using this stuff. We now made it a Schedule I controlled substance overnight. Meaning, if this stuff's in your car, so for example, say you're in your 20s, you bought a case of this stuff, 7-OH, you've used it occasionally, you got some in your car. Now, all of a sudden, you get pulled over in a week or so, a month or so, because they made it overnight. All of a sudden, you get searched for whatever reason, or you consent, which I don't recommend you do. Also, they find, oh, you have a can of, you know, big bad kratom juice, 7-OH. This is Schedule I. $5,000 bond set. You're charged on multiple felonies now. Products, you got two multiple cans of it, and we're giving give you intent to distribute. And all of a sudden, you go, dude, I bought this stuff at a gas station a month ago. Doesn't matter. Didn't follow the law. It's a Schedule I now. Florida did that. This needed to be addressed. This essentially works the same way as synthetic opioid, just not as strong. They claim here that it's as strong as morphine. That's BS. I've used this stuff before in the past, and I've tried it. I didn't care for it, but it's not morphine. I had morphine when I broke my ankle in doggone hospital.
Yeah.
There's nothing like morphine when you're in serious pain. This ain't morphine. I promise you that. However, kids have been using it because there's been no age bracket on it. So Florida, in their infinite insanity, decides they're going to schedule one it overnight. The problem with this is the first step they need in order to control and Schedule I kratom, which they've already tried to do on two separate occurrences now. They want to make kratom a Schedule I. Why? Because they don't want people coming off Xanax and OxyContin and other compounds that are extremely addictive. There's too much competition now on the market with people realizing how addictive benzodiazepines are and how opioids are and getting off them and using kratom. They don't like it. They hate it. They don't want people doing it.
You could use kratom to come off of Xanax? I had never heard
There's
that.
There's been multiple studies now that I've looked at that people have used it in conjunction with their doctor's advice or other naturopathic device to actually help hit the receptors that kratom hits to reduce the symptoms and anxiety side effects of coming off of Xanax. Kratom's, and again, I'm not promoting kratom. I'm not telling you to go run off and go buy kratom and do it. What I'm saying is if you're looking at having multiple controlled drugs that are pharmaceutical that have enormous side effects, I'd much rather see you use that as far as kratom.
Yeah, here's how I look at this. Number one, there's something else going on behind the scenes here with lobbying efforts.
For them to schedule one it. Mm-hmm. If they scheduled three or even scheduled two, I'd be like, golly, scheduled one?
No, because, you know, the lobbying groups that push legalized marijuana are unbelievably powerful in the state of Florida.
Yep.
They got a constitutional referendum for this to get it done, right? And so that's why we've got, you know, pot shops everywhere now. Okay. So that's a problem, but it really hasn't increased crime that I can tell.
It hasn't. But everybody gets lazy on it anyways.
Yeah, but the problem is now if they say, well, I'd rather use this instead of that, then it's going to affect the sales of these other products.
That's true.
Somebody somewhere is getting paid to vote for this stuff to get this stuff off the market. Because what do they want to do to make sure they do? No competition.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, if we get all the, if we get, make everything else illegal, and they didn't just make it a Schedule 3.
No.
They made this thing this is prison time.
Well, if they went in too, and like I said, they experimented, they said, hey, listen, by the way, in order to buy any compound that has 7-hydroxymonitrate in it, 7-OH, you got to be 21 years older. If you get caught with this under 21, now you're getting arrested.
Or you have to have a prescription.
Or you got a prescription for it. I'd be like, okay, let's watch it and test it for the next 6 months. They didn't do that. They just said, by the way, this drug in any compound is now Scheduled 1, just like getting caught with heroin. This is not that drug. I promise you that. But yet now, you're going to have people, they're going to get caught with it, don't know, and they're going to get arrested for felonies for having something they bought at a doggone gas station last week. And I have a real issue with that, especially the prison.
Well, and plus, too, listen to this. I mean, what about all the gas stations and all these other companies
that have inventory on this?
Yeah. What do you do with the inventory?
Scheduled 1 now.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't throw it away. I can't give it away. I can't sell it. Now, I guess they got to control. They got to call law enforcement.
Well, then law enforcement arrest you for having
it. Yeah. So, I mean, when you start going in and you start suddenly overnighting things and making them Scheduled 1, I'm sure in this, because I didn't read through everything.
They should have given it 90 days.
I'm sure they probably gave anybody that's selling it the ability to turn it back into law enforcement without any repercussions. But still, like I said, why don't you buy a case of this stuff? It's in the back of your truck, under the back seat. You've used it a couple times. You'll think about it. You're a slob. You work a lot. It's in the car. It's whatever. Now, so you get pulled over a month, 2-3 months from now. Also, you get caught with it. Oh, you're going to prison. You're going to jail. You got felony charges. And you got 8 cans of this. You got intent to distribute. This is a real issue. And like you said, there's something going on, too, with the pot lobbying. Because for them to come in now and Scheduled 1 this overnight, Scheduled 1 has no medical use with extremely high potential for abuse and is illegal in every facet.
It's so funny. Florida did it, but nobody else did it.
Right.
That's weird.
Well, no. We also got them passed this super speeder law, which I found out now, with tens of millions of dollars in federal and state grant money coming to law enforcement agencies now in Florida just for this law so they can cover their expenses of all the additional arrests they have to make down here.
Well, the biggest super speeder stuff is on interstate highway
turnpike 95. Yeah,
I mean, you go to Miami, everybody's running 100 miles an hour.
Everybody, if you don't run 95 or 100, you get run over.
By the way, Chuck Baldwin had a pretty good, interesting quote the other day. It was pretty good. He's talking about what's happening in the United States and how everything's been changed. And he goes, there's 4 stanzas in a song that came out. It was called In the Year, 2525. And he said it should have been renamed In the Year 2025. And he said, in the year 2525, or let's say the year 2025, if man is still alive, if women can't survive, they may find that in the year 3535, ain't going to need to tell the truth. You tell no lies. Everything you think and everything you do is in the pill you took today.
There you go.
Isn't that interesting? In the year 7510, if God is coming, he ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, I guess it's time for the judgment day. In the year 8510, God's going to shake his mighty head, and he'll either say, I'm pleased where man is gone, or I'm going to tear it all down and start it again. And boy, I tell you what, it's the truth, isn't it awesome? Yep. How we see these laws get passed for people who basically are trying to get off of different types of drugs. They're trying to use stuff like kratom to get off of stuff. And now all of a sudden in the state of Florida, if you do that, you think about it. I'm driving to Georgia. I'm in Georgia. I'm in Valdosta.
Yeah.
I'm in Dothan. I'm right there in Georgia, and suddenly I go 20, 30 miles, and I cross the Fort Lauderdale line. Boom, now I'm a felon. Now I'm getting arrested. Now I'm going to prison. Schedule 1. Just
that. Schedule 1, dude. That's the problem that I have with this. Like I said, if they made a Schedule 3 or Schedule 2 or made a 21 and older and experimented with it, the problem that I have with this is 7-OH is a naturally occurring compound in kratom in small amounts. They've taken out synthesizing and used higher doses in these drinks, which then they can be addictive. They can be too much. Children don't need to be using that compound, period. But yet going in and doing this massive knee-jerk reaction – and now,
like you said, it's like the super speeder law.
Super speeder. Nobody voted on it. Nobody asked for it. Okay, put on the amendment. They did that. They did that with cannabis.
Because they couldn't get it passed.
They couldn't get it passed. They said, we want to recreationalize it. And we didn't pass it in Florida. They said, you already got a medical card. You can already buy it. Why does it need to be recreational?
Mm-hmm. They should have taken this and put it on the ballot, too.
Exactly right. But now you got the FDA and you got the DEA involved with this now. And again, I guarantee
again, but again,
you,
the FDA is national. It's federal.
Yeah.
I mean, how in the world do they regulate something that's illegal in the state of Florida and it's not illegal in 40 other states?
That's what I have to dig
unless
into
it's coming to the whole United States.
And it may do that. Yeah. If the DEA gets a hold of this, it may be federal.
They may turn around that nobody can use it whatsoever.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
And that's going to be the next stair step because they've tried to ban Kratom for years. That has been a constant problem. And it's funny because they want to ban Kratom, but yet they'll hand out OxyContin like Pez over the last 20 years. It's suddenly, oh, man, if you use a plant, again, use a plant to use something to come off it, well, that's illegal now.
But remember, though, the same thing happened with OxyContin, with Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family. All the stuff they were doing was legal.
Yeah.
Okay, and suddenly it was illegal.
Illegal, right.
And suddenly they're arresting everybody.
Yep.
Suddenly people are going to prison and being fined hundreds of thousands, not millions of dollars. Instead of just making it illegal to use it like they did. That was Purdue Pharma. They got fined billions and billions of dollars for saying, oh, sustained release OxyContin, it's not addictive.
And the FDA approved it. That was the FDA. But then at the same time, we had the highest grade, largest amount of heroin ever hit the United States market from Afghanistan at the same time that they did that in 2005, 2006.
Well, you got to make the OxyContin illegal,
uh-huh.
And then you got to make them all shift to the streets for the heroin.
Which they did
because the CIA gets more money that way through black ops. Read Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the CIA, the Vatican, and the mafia. Read it, and you'll never be the same. By the way, pastor sees boycott of Target stores as a new civil rights fight. All right, I'll bite on this for a second. Pastor Jamal Harrison Bryant is midway through a fervent sermon at his New Birth Missionary Baptist Church outside of Atlanta, and thousands of his flock are on their feet in the stadium-sized chapel as he strikes back and forth across the stage in a light blue suit, his voice rising and falling. He alternates between conversation and condemnation, shifting between references to Shakespeare and Alcoholics Anonymous. He goes, something has to break. He repeats the challenge over and over, admonishing worshipers to break the habits that led to debt, broken marriages, drugs, or drinking. Then he turns to perhaps he's in a light blue suit, his voice rising and falling. He alternates between conversation and condemnation, shifting between references to Shakespeare and Alcoholics Anonymous. He goes, something has to break. He repeats the challenge over and over, admonishing worshipers to break the habits that led to debt, broken marriages, drugs, or drinking. Then he turns to perhaps the while he wasn't the first to call for a Target boycott, the fight has been taken on an existential nature for Bryant and others in the black church who are desperate to force a company to defy U.S. President Donald Trump's war on what Trump calls illegal DEI. So in other words, they want to keep DEI and they're going after Target for this. The pastor acknowledges that momentum was working against him and his supporters. The backlash has started in 2023 Supreme Court decision banning affirmative action in college enrollment has turned into a deep chill for corporate DEI. It set off legal challenges from conservative groups against what they say is discrimination against white workers. Now, any company that sticks to or reinstates diversity initiatives risks attracting scrutiny from the White House. Goals to increase the black workforce have been mostly shelved. Supplier diversity programs, including those at Target, have been renamed and no longer differentiate on race or gender, which is exactly how it should be. And I hate to say to this pastor, because I'm sure he's a good person, I'm sure he says a lot of good things, I disagree with you. You know, this DEI initiative needs to be stopped. If a black person and a white person are competing for the same job, pick the one who's the best qualified.
That's exactly right.
Period.
Same thing with pilots.
Yes.
I don't care if you're Asian, you're black, you're Hispanic, you're white, whatever you are, man. I have no care about that in the world. I just want to land safely and not die because you don't have somebody in the pilot seat running the left seat that's going, we should do that one day. Oh, I'm a broken nail. Some dude that wants to be a girl in the front seat. Oh, there's a problem with the controls. I'm just going to let it go.
I remember we were in my 210, and we were flying up to North Carolina. It was me and Austin and Sharon. She was in the front seat. Austin's in the back. And I'll never forget my instruments go dead because I didn't know there was an alternator problem with 210s. They overheated and burned up. And so everything went dead. My batteries went dead, but my motor was still running fine, but I had no instruments. And so we had a backup iPad.
You have an altimeter too? You had no altimeter too? You had nothing?
I had nothing.
Nothing.
Unless it was a vacuum control gauge. I don't remember anymore. I think it was vacuum control.
Yeah.
But I had my iPad on as a backup in case I had failure.
Right.
That's what pilots do.
They always do redundancies.
And so I went ahead and landed at Douglas Airport.
Yeah.
And Austin was in the back seat sleeping because we were flying at 10, 12,000 feet.
Taking a nap. I was chilling, man.
And I had basically, and I've told you guys this story before, and I was using flight following, but my radio went dead. I mean, I had nothing. No navigation, nothing. And so I took the iPad. I saw the airport down below me, 12,000 feet down, and I circled down. And about, we got about 3,000 feet. And Sharon's, and remember, now we flipped, we have landing gear on the 210. So we flipped a button. There's no batteries,
no power.
It won't come down. So now there's a hand crank that we had never used ever, even in my training, but I knew about it. And so I told Sharon, I said, go ahead and pump this thing about 100 times. And, you know, and then once it gets to where it gets really stiff, I'll finish pumping it. So we watch it. The gear starts coming down real slow. And Austin's in the back seat. And he's,
he haggard elbowed. Austin, we got emergency landing. I wake up and I'm like, well, that's fun. This is cool. What are we doing? Emergency landing, Austin, get ready. I'm like, do I need to put a seatbelt on? He said, yeah, get a seatbelt. I'm like, all right. This is party now.
Then I told Sharon to open her door and deadbolt it open.
Yeah.
And I said, because that way, if it gets jammed, we still had full tanks of fuel. You got to be able to get out. The thing about the 210 that was nice, it had doors on both sides for the pilot and the co-pilot, which I love that, by the way. One of the finest airplanes ever built. And what happened is Austin says to me, are you nervous? And I said, no. And he goes, well, are you scared? I said, no.
Should we be nervous? You're like, no, I got this.
I said, I got this. Okay. And I said, Austin, I'm the only pilot on board. I have to land the plane. And he looked at me kind of funny. He said, okay. So we landed without incident. And I've told you guys that story many times. But the reality is this. Austin's right. You don't want a DEI pilot who's been pushed ahead of everybody else who's a trained professional pilot in the driver's seat or in the left chair in the pilot seat. Because what's going to happen is if they panic, everybody dies.
If you got two pilots, you got a black pilot and a white pilot that are testing, and the black pilot is significantly more qualified and much better under heat, and the white pilot flips out, I want the black pilot running. If you've got an Asian or like whatever, I don't care. This concept of hiring people, of going in and hiring people and saying, we're putting these people in position and say they're doing this because they're this color, they're this background. I'm so sick of it. We're all over it. Everybody's over it. And then you got COVID-19 recipients now in this new article are more likely to suffer respiratory illness in this new study. There's an urgent need for randomized controlled trials in healthy individuals, the author says. People who received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine were found by researchers to have greater odds of suffering from respiratory illness. Among unvaccinated participants, 33% suffered from one or more episodes of influenza-like illness. For people who received one or two doses of the vaccine, it was 44%. For people who received three or doses, it was 45%. Research also discovered people who were unvaccinated or received two or fewer doses were less likely to be absent. So they said here, booster vaccination did not contribute to a measurable protection of healthcare workforce studied and may even temporarily increase the likelihood of symptomatic infection and workday loss, the researcher said in the paper. So again, you got to start looking at this stuff and asking, why in the world is this shot still rolling? Why in the world are they still producing boosters? Why in the world do they have a bivalent COVID vaccine and flu vaccine that's being rolled out now that's supposed to be approved soon? Why in the world do we have emergency use authorization under young children now, even available, when everything we keep seeing shows more and more and more problems? And that's my stance on it. And there's a reason why we ask these questions, because this stuff isn't going away. And for some odd reason, people still want to run it.
Well, no, it's crazy. It really is. Oh, by the way, this is a great article on Earth.com. It says, laughter makes the stress of life feel less overwhelming, which is what we try to do on this show. We try to let you know that laughter and lightness and being happy is a good medicine, which is what the Bible says. It says, laughter may be a potent ally for mental and physical health. Around the world, scientists are exploring now how structured laughter sessions can help calm anxiety and lift life satisfaction, and they're finding these activities deliver real results. Laughter is not unique to humans. From apes to rats, many animals share this response, though I've never seen a rat laugh. A rat laugh? No.
Ratatouille.
Okay. Hospitals also discover the healing potential of laughter. For example, children receive visits from clowns often recover and go home sooner, except for clowns sometimes are pretty scary.
Yeah.
I've seen kids scream for clowns. I mean, oh my, they're not happy. They were scared out of their minds.
That's because everybody saw It when it came out.
Oh, horrible movie. The University of Spain wanted to improve health in all dimensions, not just physical, but also the spiritual, emotional, he noted. This led him to a study of laughter therapy's role in holistic care. And his team analyzed 33 studies from the U.S., Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. And participants ranged from nursing students to patients and left end-of-life care surgery candidates, IVF patients, and individuals facing depression or burnout. When the laughter therapy methods varied, some joined laughter yoga groups, and it all helped all the time. And what's interesting about this, it helps lower cortisol. It helps you make you feel better. In fact, you know, it says the same thing. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. And, you know, and that's the truth. It really is, Austin. And that's why we try to give you some comments here on the show. And every once in a while, we may say a bad word.
We'll edit that out.
It's already been edited. If you heard it live,
act like you halo. You got a halo.
No halo over my head. I've had to edit my own stuff before. And if you think I've got a halo over my head, I ain't the right guy.
At the same point, man, and I again apologize. Sometimes I'm not. You know, sometimes I just get irritated with stuff. And I think everybody's reached that point. But you're right. Laughing and making stuff, you know, a little bit more lively. And speaking of that, now being a little bit more lively. Magnesium depletion has now been linked to depression.
Oh, we knew that.
Massively, though.
Oh, yeah.
It says, for months, Marcy has been feeling off. She's crying. She wasn't crying all the time. She had constant low-level anxiety, strange heaviness. Sleep no longer felt restorative. Motivation dipped. If you've been feeling similar, might be worth asking, could low magnesium be part of the picture? Magnesium plays a key role in mood regulation. Listen to this. A large study of more than 13,000 people found a strong connection between magnesium levels and depression. It showed that for every 1 point increase in someone's magnesium depletion score, the risk of depression rose by 13%.
Whoa.
1 point, 13%. The magnesium depletion score is a tool that helps identify people who may be low in magnesium, looking at common risk factors such as medication, alcohol use, or kidney problems. Lowering your magnesium depletion score by improving your diet or addressing risk factors may help prevent or ease symptoms of depression. The meta-analysis published in Nutrition Review involving more than 63,000 people found that those with highest magnesium intake had 34% lower risk of depression. This is why I tell you guys all the time. Well, I had it around here somewhere. I think we used it all up again. There you go. Hey, that magnesium over there. Using your show. This right here, not only does it have the magnesium thionate, which goes right through the blood-brain barrier, which directly affects exactly what they're talking about in this article, we also have the magnesium glycinate in it. This is one of the most effective tools we've ever seen with products that actually works very quickly in the body because magnesium is used so much in the body with 300 different biochemical reactions, and it's water-soluble. Magnesium doesn't store up long-term in the body. Body burns through it like jet fuel, especially if you're very active, especially if you're not getting enough sleep, especially if you're really high strung and doing podcast shows multiple times a day and managing websites. Your body burns through magnesium on a level that is unprecedented.
Speak for yourself.
So again, this is why we talk about it. This is why we use it. This is why I recommend it. This is why it's also on the top three bestsellers on the new Health Masters, Team Health Masters 2.0 right here. There's a reason why it's up here. And by the way, please do me a favor on this. If you're on the site, you're checking it out, you're liking it, please go over here because we haven't been able to transfer. Put a review up here. We're looking for stars. Give us a review on this product. Let everybody know how it's worked for you on here because it helps other people understand, hey, this worked for me, this may work for you, and it really does work great.
Psalms 126:2. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Wow. And it says, you will laugh at Job 5:22, you will laugh at violence and famine, and you will not be afraid of wild beasts. In Job 8:21, he will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting. You know, no, this
Job's
is
wild, bro.
You quote Job. You know, Job's Job's rough, man.
That's a wild book.
Yeah. But God's telling you that, you know, he basically wants you to be happy. He wants you to, and remember, it's not that, you know, happiness is something that can be obtained all of the time because happiness is based on happenings, but it's the righteous peace of joy that we have through the filling of the Holy Spirit that changes our lives and makes our lives worth the living. Because guys, you know, an attitude of gratitude is incredibly important. If someone's doing something for you as a favor, if somebody's doing something for you as a friend, be grateful. Don't be asking them to do more and more and more. Just be grateful that they've done this for you. And remember, because Jesus did that for us, grace is free. Grace is sufficient for you. What he did by going to the cross is something that I would never have done, by the way. I'm sure none of you would have either. By voluntarily doing that, he didn't have to do any of that stuff. No. He could have decapitated every one of those Roman soldiers by that. He could have walked away. He could have called the angels out. He said that. But he chose to do that for you and me to create an energy field through his blood sacrifice that created an energy field of scalar proportions that changes our DNA back to the Father. We become a Christian and allows us to go boldly before the throne of God through him. That's what Christianity is all about. It's about having a relationship with God through Christ. if we don't have that, we don't have anything. Yesterday, I was talking to somebody and said, well, if we pray, you know, we're all praying to the same God. And I said, au contraire, no, we're not. Oh, no, we're not. A lot of people, they want to use different types of demonic entities like Lilith. Don't ever get involved with stuff like that. Or they start praying to the Archangel Michael. You're not supposed to pray to angels. You're not supposed to pray to demonic spirits. You pray to God through Jesus. Because most religions, and we talked about this in Angel Wars during the Tower of Babel, they were set up for Lucifer, not for God. We only have one God. He's the great I am, and my heart beats for him. And we need to all understand that. And Jesus is the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith. And it's through him we can do all things because he created the universe. Always remember that. And we covered in detail in Angel Wars. I love you guys so much, and I appreciate you. And I thank you for your support. And I thank you for your direction and guidance and helping us with the websites and teaching us how you want certain things done and asking us to do certain things certain ways.
We listen, by the way.
We listen, by the way.
I try to listen to you guys.
And we still answer our telephone, too, by the way.
And we answer our emails. We answer our emails. We answer our you know, I don't know very many companies that answer phones anymore.
We do.
We do. I know a lot of companies try to contact them. There is no phone
number.
It's
all by email.
Everything's email. And I get it. It's more efficient. Answering phones all day at the office, having reps that have to be on the phone, it's not easy. It's more work.
And
but we do it.
Expensive, too.
Yeah, it costs a lot more money. So if you guys need anything, be sure to check out Team Health Masters 2.0 here on the website. Check out the products. Subscribe and save. You got 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever you guys want. Appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow.